Well, it's good to be with you all again this morning. And this is not a new thing to say, but this is the first Sunday of the new year. We are now in 2021. And the beginning of a new year gives us the opportunity to look back over the last year and forward to this new year. And what a year it's been, 2020. A number of Christians over the last few years have prophesied that God would be moving in particular power in 2020. Well, there's certainly been a lot of movement in 2020, some of it, people could say, well, that's not much of a movement of God in it, because it's been a pretty difficult year. The whole world has been affected. Many more people have been sick and died. Economies, business, and employment have been hit hard. Scientists and governments have been in some chaos trying to respond to the virus. And each of us in our own personal lives have been affected, shut in, curtailed, loss of companionship and social life. Some people's lives have been affected much more than others, and we are still in it, with restrictions increased as infections and hospitalization and deaths increase again. But our songs this morning, it's been interesting just listening to the songs, have been quite a lot about what we don't see God doing. So he doesn't move the mountains, he doesn't part the waters, he doesn't do the things that we'd all like to see happening. But that doesn't mean it's not moving. And that's been the theme. I didn't choose the songs, but it's interesting how that has come through very strongly. Because so often it's the case that the worst is accompanied by the best. And we've already talked and prayed this morning about the amazing self-sacrifice of the people in the National Health Service going on caring. They've cancelled holidays, they've had shifts extended, the constant emergencies, care workers, and in some areas, I remember reading that care workers have actually moved into the care home, left their own families for several weeks to protect the elderly people in that care home. There have been many individual initiatives to bring food to others, neighbours stepping up. New projects started, many unsung heroes. God has been at work by his Spirit, bringing many to show love and concern, to go not just one extra mile, but many extra miles. There will be broader lessons that will come out of this last year, opportunities as well as protections. I think it's still too early to make any real judgments about these things because we're still in the midst of it all. But there are some things that remain the same. Our personal relationships, for instance. I think the effects of 2020 have been to put more pressure on these. To be honest, I know in my wider family there have been more falling out than I've seen before. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, 31, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave, just as in Christ God forgave you." And it's just a reminder as we finish one year, are there relationships that need attention and healing in our lives? Because we've all been under these sorts of pressures. Are there family feuds? Are there things that we know ought to be settled that we've just left for periods of time and not really done anything about? We don't want to go into a new year with some of those undealt with. Now, in a lot of instances, we can't necessarily solve those problems. They've been fixed and they're working their way, or not really working their way. And they've been there in the past. But if we can we be more peacemakers to all of us around us? And looking back also, we can look back over our lives over a long period of time, and that's helpful. Jesus speaks about life built on a rock and life built on sand. And as we look back over our lives, we can see what parts of our lives have been built more on a rock and what parts of our lives have been rather more on the sand. Times when we were returning just to building our own lives and not particularly fussed about God or Jesus and the way that he wanted us to go. It may also be that we can see how God has been able to use us and see what particular calling we have had, what way we feel able and we have been able to be Jesus through his Spirit to one another, someone else in particular. There are many doing this from the Vineyard Church, in the well, working with young people, or in worship or practical ways. Those particular times when we've been involved in something more specific may come to an end, and we may for a time feel we're not doing much and wonder where we might go. And the present restrictions make all that more difficult and more frustrating. But it is good to be able to look back and to say, how did God actually use me in the past? What are the ways in which he may be calling me during this coming year and in the future in a different way to the past? So in all those ways, we benefit from looking back. But the fact is that God is more interested, the whole business, the focus of a new year, it is new. Yes, there is faithfulness in doing something over a long period of time, but God is in the business of the new. At his final coming, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. We will have new bodies and minds. The voice from the throne in the final kingdom, "Behold, I make all things new." God is in the renewing business, not just in the final kingdom, but now in our own lives. Isaiah prophesied that an old man who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. Yes, the same calling may remain for us, but be exercised in a new way. Hannah and I came north and thought we had buildings, we would use them as we did in London, helping people and supporting people in need in different ways and being an emergency place. Well, we're not so sure about that. There may be parts of that still happening in the Oakleaf community, but as we've gone through this last 2 or 3 years, we still don't really know what the shape of that is going to be and what our part is going to be. And Hannah and I aren't exactly in our first flush of youth. There are tasks and projects which need younger people, but there are still remains things for older people to do. And God himself takes us into the new, because God is a God of the new. I think sometimes we forget that and almost think, oh, well, God's just sitting there and he's been there all the time, the Ancient of Days, and, you know, back to traditions. But if we actually think about how this world has evolved, how did the scientists, for instance, develop totally new vaccines in such a short time? Where did the knowledge and materials they use come from? Well, they come from God's creation. God still puts each one of us together in our mother's wombs. Ultimately, all knowledge and skill comes from him, as do all the materials that we use, ultimately come from what he has provided within this creation. God has still many things to reveal to us as the years pass. If you think about it, it's not so long ago when people thought it was really rather good to be able to tie a piece of paper to a pigeon's leg in order to send a message to somebody else or some distance away. He was the person that inspired that idea of working in it. And he inspires others now into making a machine capable of transmitting some millions of messages in a second. This world, this universe is evolving all the time into new things, and we've got the responsibility under God to use them for right purposes. Many of you, I know, come from a Methodist background, and therefore you'll be familiar with the Methodist covenant prayer used at the beginning of a new year. It emphasizes that we no longer belong to ourselves, but to God. And if that is so, we're not in control of our own lives. He is. And therefore, we may be asked to go through times we would not choose to go through. I'll read that covenant prayer now. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be exalted for thee, or laid aside for thee. Let me be exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. That's pretty challenging, isn't it? Just thinking about the fact that our lives are really due to God, and therefore we owe him everything, and they really belong to him. And so we should be able to let things go, to move into difficult things, and to trust him. In the past, I remember looking back, there was a year when we, Anna and I, went through that covenant service several times in one week in January. We were in different settings, either privately or with a group of people or in a church, and we suddenly found ourselves about four times in the week going through this covenant service. And we thought, gosh, this is pretty strange. We've now done this several times. And it wasn't very long later that we experienced being cut off from the very source of what we were doing and being without any warning. And it was a fairly devastating experience for us both. But then we realized, actually, we had been warned. We had done four covenant services which had said, there will be times when you will be set aside. There will be times when you feel empty, when the way is not clear at all, and you'll be cut off from things that you thought you were going to be doing and working on. And if God, that was a real encouragement for us, because if God sent that warning, he had it in his control, and we needn't panic, even though we were confused and quite hurt. The Epistle of James warns us not to say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Instead, we ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will do this and that. It doesn't mean that we can never formulate plans and see them fulfilled and blessed, but at any time we need to be ready to stop, turn, and follow into the wilderness, if needs be, into what God has for us. Finally, but most importantly, is our personal relationship with Jesus. We will each have our way of cultivating that, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in Bible reading, whether it's in Christian books or blogs or worship songs or meditations. All or any of these help us to draw into God's presence. And we need to persist with them if we are to grow in that relationship. If we've been following a particular pattern of doing these things over the last several years, we may need to look at it again and say, well, have I just settled into this method of doing, communicating with God? And it's just become a routine for me. should I be actually challenging myself a bit more, doing things in a slightly different way, picking up things that I might be coming across, and changing how I do that? I find that times with us have been that each morning we read a meditation together, Hannah and I, discuss it and pray together, as well as I have some time with the Celtic prayer book and the service there and Bible reading. But that's not suitable for everybody, and it's not, maybe not be possible for everybody. We each need to find our own way. But our own aim is to be in personal touch with God and to be learning and growing all the time. And this should be affecting our whole life. So as we learn more of God, we can then shape our lives under the Holy Spirit's leading into more of a life that reflects his life, his joy, his peace, and his challenge. We need to live the things we have learned. And I found that, I mean, I've learned so much just in the years that we've been up here in the north, which I hadn't. My views about things have changed. My views about God have become much bigger and greater. And, you know, I've been 70 all this time. So there are still great truths and exciting things. What was that song saying? There was more things to be done, more things to happen in this city, in this place, and in our lives. So a new year is a time of looking back and assessing and recognizing. But it's always about looking forward and looking for God, what God has in store for us. Amen.